closer. AWOL radio show. Feeling good about myself right now. So it's that that lavender I was smoking earlier. Kind of get you in a good mood. Say what's up to all my people out there. This is your host, Michael Powell. You guys know me out there, man. Hopefully you're having a wonderful weekend.
Especially the person who sold them that lavender knows
me. That's right. Knows me very well. It's a lovely Sunday. To my left is...
What's going on, people's ash?
I was signing on to the official AWOL radio page.
Oh, God. And in front of me is...
It's Carlton, folks.
Back.
Hey.
Back, folks, in full effect. You wanted him? He's here.
I didn't know anybody wanted me.
I'm to make you feel so good about yourself right now.
That's a especially since we right by the holidays. I don't know anybody.
I know,
Jesus, you need a hug, girl.
Christmas is like a week.
We all need a hug, man. We all need a hug.
So it's a lovely Sunday. Today's the 11th, if I'm not mistaken.
It is.
Hopefully, you guys are having a great weekend. I've been having a great weekend. How about everybody else? Have you guys been having a great weekend?
Yeah, I actually.
It's kind of not my weekend yet. I'm working, so.
Sure, I went to work yesterday, but it's all good. I'm still alive to talk about it, so I guess it's a good weekend.
Which is always a blessing within itself.
You know what? Yeah, that's my bad. Here you go.
Stealing lighters over here. So, today's special drink, it was brought to you by the generosities of Carlton, which is often that he comes through with a beer, often something I've not tried yet. So today,
very generous.
Yes, he's a very generous man. So today we are trying Allagash Triple Ale from Portland, Maine. It's a Belgian style ale, listed to be at 9% alcohol by volume level. And I have to say, it is a very smooth ale. The bottle will run you roughly about what?
About $10.
About $10, folks. Understand. It's a very large bottle, okay? So we're looking at about a 750 milliliter to 9.4 fluid ounce.
Looks like a liter.
So it's a big bottle, but at 9% for $10, it's a pretty good buy, and it's a good tasting beer. Also, as another accessory to our show today, we have some. First, let me shout out to the herb shop down in Brooklyn. I think down by. The Barclays Center. If you guys have not been down there, check out Barclays. The Nets suck, but their stadium is awesome to watch. It's the truth. The Nets are terrible. No one's going to argue that. I dare you. I dare anybody out there to send me an email complaining about the Nets not sucking. The Nets suck, but their stadium is amazing. Compared to MSG?
It's a new stadium. It's how long has Madison Square Garden been around?
With all the money that MSG has made, they should have improved it a long time ago. They only started improving it when Barclays Center became a real thing.
They improved it in sections, and by the time that section is done, the rest of the shit looks shoddy. And by the time the next section is done, the rest of the shit looks shoddy. They do it in sections.
Well, that's their, they haven't knocked it all down. Their fault. Anyways.
Maybe Spike Lee should donate to MSG.
So, for those who are in the herb concept, it's a lot of marketing going on right now, so just go with it. you got lavender. So we have some smokable lavender, but it's also lavender that you can burn as you would burn sage or burn anything else as like a nice little incense for your home. Lavender, lungwort, and Damnia, which are all good for calming, good for breathing. I know you wouldn't think so, but remember that if you burn it and not are sitting up over the smoke, then it can actually help with your breathing. And Damnia is very, very good for relaxing nerves and kind of like easing you into your your activities. So these are some things for you to look into for those who are into the homeopathic routes.
I'm pretty easy right now.
I know.
Easy him and I both. Street.
So before we dive into insanity,
I love to live on easy.
Carlton is doing some serenading over here. Some Nat King Cole, black and white. Singing some light music in the background.
Since you ain't got no music on in the background.
I know, I should have had something playing.
That 20s jazz stuff.
So, prior to us diving in to our topics for the day, which I think you guys are going to love out there, has anybody had like anything interesting happening? Anything fun? Any stories to spiel? Any intrigue out there in your worlds? No?
None.
You lived boring lives? It's
pretty boring. Just working home, yo.
Mm. I've been working OT for the last 3 weeks, so...
Word, yo. And yeah. Still can't save no money because you're trying to pay stuff.
Bills, yes.
Yeah, and basically working
trying to start that new year with no bills.
With a clean slate, yeah.
Exactly.
Just to dirty it up again. Clean at the end of the year. That's the way of the world.
Yeah.
So, all right. So then let's just... I do have to say this, though. To the woman... in the check cashing place, who proceeded to curse out the teller behind the plexiglass, though she had an infant child across her chest and a little one at her side. You disturbed me. That was so unnecessary. This woman proceeded to call this lady behind the plexiglass a stupid hoe and a dumb bitch. Because supposedly she asked her for change, and the woman behind the plastic glass gave her an attitude. Supposedly. And there must have been enough of an attitude for her to erupt in such a manner. And it's quite disturbing and disappointing, because I would think you would have a little more tact with your daughter or with your children there. But clearly the word tact does not exist in the mind.
You know what? I mean, I can't even really blame that lady. I mean... if someone attacks you with attitude, I mean, granted, you can choose to go either way. Now, sometimes that aggression is warranted, man. And sometimes, yes, your children need to see it.
But it's behind a plexiglass. And someone could have just, whatever level of attitude that she gave, it had to be an attitude that was just sensed in the response. Which means that her...
Look at it this way. The plexiglass added for extra protection from this woman's harsh words.
What do you mean the words? The words like filtered through the plexiglass?
Well, yeah, it got filtered through the plexiglass. Right, and it didn't have as hard of an impact. I'm pretty sure that plexiglass can take a certain caliber bullet.
It's meant to.
Right, so I'm pretty sure it can take a certain caliber insult.
Harsh words.
Right. I'm pretty sure that stupid asshole that lady called that lady behind the glass might have been warranted because, like I said, you said that she gave her attitude. What was her attitude?
I mean, I didn't see it happen. This was her response. And her response told me that she had felt that she had gained attitude from this woman behind the plexiglass.
So there you go.
And that's why she responded in that way. I don't know.
You gotta
man.
Be tough
I'm like,
in this
you
world,
know.
Man.
You got kids with you. You probably shouldn't be behaving like that. You can have a little more tact. I'm also not a fan of when people feel like you don't have to say thank you when someone lets you get on the train or the bus or holds the goddamn door for you. I had a guy, I was getting on the train, and you guys can attest to this out there, or maybe even presently in front of me.
People are ruthless with the train.
I get on the train, right? I'm standing there with my girlfriend. I'm waiting to get on the train. Train stops. I see a man with his child. This child is no baby, folks. This child ain't no like four-year-old boy. His kid is like maybe 8 or 9. He can walk and play video games. I'm sure he says all types of inappropriate things when he's at school. Right. So whatever. This kid is a mini man, but I was still being polite. So what do? I stand and I have a woman with me. Mm-hmm. By our societal law, the woman gets on the train.
It's women and children first.
Women and children.
But the woman, clearly in that sentence, as you hinted to me,
right, women
takes,
and children.
Takes precedent.
Right, because the woman can help you create the child.
Exactly.
Right.
So what do I do, though?
I see the guy standing with his kid. You can't let the kid on if he ain't with his parents.
Okay,
that's messed up.
So I see him there, right? So I tell my girl, I was like, all right, whatever. Like, let's let him go on first. So he goes on. He looks at us, though. Now, here's where the shit's fucked up. He looks at us. He clearly knows that there is an act of civility being performed on my end and does not acknowledge it. That's what bothers me. You knew someone was being civil.
Well, then you
looked at me. You looked at me to say,
"You can't. Am I going?" You can't blame that child because that
no,
child,
I'm not blaming the child. I'm blaming the grown ass man.
The parent.
No,
I'm blaming the father. Right. There is learned.
Exactly.
There has been a disappearance of common courtesy.
Oh, well, that's it right there.
You know,
that
is, and it's mostly because, and you know, I don't want to, you know, get on a whole generation of people.
Okay,
but you have.
No, it's our parents' generation. It's their fault.
No, no, no. It's not even our parents' fault. It's like you have babies having babies. You got little 14, 15-year-old girls
kids having kids.
They don't know enough about life to teach their kids shit.
That's not true. Because our grandparents' generation had children. 15, 14, 16-year-old women having children. And they still raised decent people, considerate people. What happened? It still happened. Matter of fact, I would probably have to say that there was more youth or teenage pregnancy back in the day versus now, because now it's more of a stigma against it.
I can't speak to that from the 80s because I don't remember that.
Okay.
I remember that in mid to late 90s, early 2000s, there was a lot of teenage pregnancy.
Oh, definitely. But
so that's what I'm speaking to.
They probably didn't take the numbers back in the day. It probably was rampant back in the day. But like I said, the mentality is different. That's what I'm saying.
Well, it's a more selfish generation, too.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
And then we live in the mecca of selfishness. Yeah. NYC.
No, but still back in the day, there was still common courtesy. And we were in NYC.
And that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
It's more of a generational thing. This new generation, they have everything at their fingertips. You know, we're still from the generation that went outside to play. We did things.
Right.
They're from a generation as they're doing this, and their friend is next to them, and they're talking to their friend.
Yeah, I've seen this constantly where there'd be multiples of them. It'd be like four or five, not necessarily teens, but maybe people in their like early 20s.
Tweens. Or, you know.
And they'll be texting.
And they're standing next to each
other. And not talking to each other, but they're not even texting each other. So it's like I don't know what the fuck that they're doing.
Right.
But this would be like.
So how are you hanging out at
and
that?
And this
would
be for like a good 10 minutes. It would be a long enough time that social. Levels of awkwardness would come into play.
Right. Like I can see how that works in different cultures. Mm-hmm. Like in Japan, it's very, very disrespectful to answer your phone. I mean, it's disrespectful to answer your phone with your people anyway, but to a certain level in our society, we allow it. You know, because you talk real quick.
It could be an emergency.
Exactly.
Could be something, yeah.
But in Japan, it's very frowned upon. So what you'll do, you'll see them texting their fingers off. Mm. But they'll be in a social situation and it's okay.
But that's okay. But it's still isolating.
It's still isolating, but it's still okay for them. Over here, it's just happening everywhere, and it just makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like, there is no, like, societal push to, okay, text instead of pick up the phone. No, they're just texting because they want to text, and they're next to the person they're texting.
I kind of look at it this way. You already know.
Or, like, text and then don't answer, and I'm guilty of this, where someone will text me, and I'll be texting back and forth, because I've done this to even you. I've done this to you, where we'll be texting for a minute. Right. Like, boom, 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 conversation. Like, this is an actual conversation. And I'm responding. And then you'll call me, and I'm like,
and you don't fucking answer? Yes.
Silent.
Why would you not? Yo, you just finished answering a text. Pick up the fucking phone.
Silent. And then I text you back right after that call.
Like that's
I don't really like talking right
everybody
now.
Everybody does that from time to time. Shit, sometimes I look at the phone.
Man. Because you know,
it can be my mother. And I'm like, yes. I don't feel like talking.
And you watch it ring. Because I've done it where I'm just like. I'm like,
you have to watch it ring and let it ring because if you press the damn button, that person knows that you hung up.
No, see, that's why I just hit silent. I'm not sending it to...
You're just hitting silent. I don't hear it anymore.
No, but see, here's my thing. We're going to spend like an hour and a half texting. It's a 5-minute conversation.
No, I know. The conversation is shorter
plus,
than the text.
Most of the time when we're texting, I'm at work. So it's just easier for me to get the conversation out the
way. Right, and that's how I am too. And yeah, it's a certain thing that I need to say it instead of texting it.
Just makes no sense.
Yeah.
All right.
We now
have gotten the social aspect.
I'm gonna give a both of y'all a hug before I leave.
How does it work?
I mean, you was the one that said you was lonely in the beginning of the show. I think you need that hug.
And now let's dive into the Officer Slager mistrial. I don't even have this written down in my notes, but I just know how much of a fuck up that was. Now, first of all, if I'm not mistaken, one of the jurors, one of the white jurors, should I say, was the reason why, I believe it was only one of them, because you needed a unanimous opinion from the jury.
Right.
One of them refused to find him guilty, saying that it bothered him. He couldn't find this officer.
He couldn't find the white officer guilty.
His words were white officer.
White officer, because he was a white man.
Exactly.
Hold on, that was what he said.
That was what he said. I cannot find it in my heart to convict another white man for this crime.
Mm-hmm. Now see, like I said, I haven't.
What kind of shit is that? What the fuck does that mean?
I haven't kept up on it really.
What does that mean?
But at the same time, watch, and like I said, I always play devil's advocate. You'll have some white folks say, well, we'll see. It's just like when black folks say they voted for Obama just because he was black.
Hey, not the
That's
same
not
shit.
That's not the same reason.
That is not
How is it not the
but
same?
But I feel you, though. I feel you, though. You're totally right.
It's that parallel, will be the but it's argument. Not the same.
That will be the argument, is that, well, you guys voted for somebody based off of color, so why can't
I make a verdict?
But it's like somebody's life.
Was taken.
But that doesn't matter. When you tribalism...
The president doesn't, like, become president and then go around
they
killing
They tell you, they instruct you, when you become a juror, to make an impartial and objective decision based on evidence presented.
Alone.
But they're telling people that. People that are run on emotion.
Who lie. Who can easily say no.
Right.
I'm not racist.
Right. And honestly, I
love everybody.
Convince you of that, too.
Everybody's equal to me. I can be unbiased... juror? I mean, didn't I sound very convincing, guys? Didn't I just sound like someone that you would want to take on?
No.
Little do you know, I will opinionate your ass into the champ!
Those shifty beady eyes, I wouldn't trust them.
But this is what I'm saying, is that Carlton brings up a great point. Our system continues to pretend like the majority of the people in this country, a country that has built itself upon lies and bloodshed... I'm going to tell you the truth.
Every country has built itself upon lies.
But let's talk
and
about America right now. Right. I don't live in any other country.
I live here. This one has the wealth of knowledge from every other culture that has done it previously.
Yes. So here we are going to sit with jurors, white jurors in a southern state, for a white officer who killed a black man. And ask him, can you be on?
And most of them were.
Under a Trump presidency.
True. This is a fact. To all the jurors out there,
took their job seriously.
They were unbiased, and they found that the evidence was not sufficient for him to walk away. Yet this white man, knowing that all he had to do was be the one vote against it.
To fuck it up.
Would fuck everything up. Get a mistrial and possibly keep him from being tried again. Now, granted,
Jeopardy, they can try him again.
Granted, the prosecutor fucked up. The prosecutor, no, he can't because it's a mistrial. It's not a guilty verdict, so he can't be tried again. But the prosecution fucked up because the prosecution had him listed underneath voluntary manslaughter and or murder. Those were the two charges that they wanted to bag him on. One of those two.
So they went for the second degree.
They should have gone for involuntary. Because involuntary means there's no malicious intent in what you are doing. You're not looking to kill this person, but you're still using a force that can. Knowing this, that's what makes it involuntary. Because you didn't go out there looking to kill someone. The thing became...
And who was supposed to use that argument?
The prosecution.
Or the prosecution.
Because remember that Slager was on the defense.
Right.
So the prosecution... I personally would have gone with involuntary because I think that would have shown, one, he is a human being. He wasn't initially trying to kill us, but maybe he was. We don't know. Like, let's not even put that out there. I know, but let's not dangle an easier conviction. Exactly. It was involuntary.
Okay.
He was just doing his job, but he did it too excessively.
Right.
He should be penalized for that.
At least.
And so it's involuntary involuntary manslaughter charge, not murder, which doesn't mean he went out there looking to cap a black nigga.
Right.
All
right.
Pardon me for the word, but
it keeps your teeth white.
Yes, it does. but
I'm gonna still be calm today. I swear.
It's the lavender working
in. It's the lavender. That's exactly what I was about to say.
It's the lavender. But, with the involuntary, they still could have nailed him for the excessive force. Because at the bottom line of this, we can make excuses constantly for his mentality. You know, well, his upbringing, the way he was conditioned as a kid, because education or the upbringing of your childhood is a conditioning. Whether you think of it good or bad, it's still a conditioning. So he was conditioned wrong. He was made to believe black people were violent, but dangerous, blah, 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 whatever. But the point is, as a human being with intelligence, as I hope these officers down there in the southern states have.
Well, let's say intelligence and compassion.
And compassion, yes. Would dictate to you that a man 18 feet or so away from you, running away,
does not pose
probably a not a threat. You probably don't need to shoot him several times, and probably could just shoot him in the legs. You know, but you aim for the bigger body because you suck at shooting, Slager. So,
well,
you know.
Every cop is taught to shoot center mass.
I know that, but here's what's interesting to me. We can argue, well, you, I mean, listen to me. No,
bringing it up like
listen
cop should be a sharpshooter.
Listen to me, listen to me.
That's not
good. No, I'm not saying a sharpshooter,
right,
but
I
if
mean,
you're going to aim,
agree with that
if he was a sharpshooter, he wouldn't have been able, he wouldn't need to have shot him several times. We got that. I'm not saying sharpshooter. But the fact that he aimed up here and kept shooting up at this level, he could have just also aimed lower and kept shooting there. I'm not talking about being a sharpshooter. It's just a matter of directing where you are aiming.
But hold on. It still goes back to like what you just said. Is a child is learns things through conditioning. If you're conditioned to shoot at a certain target, that's going to be what you do automatically. That's just human nature. You're going to aim for that torso.
It's like you.
That is what it is.
You're not recognizing the point. I understand what
I
you're
am
saying.
Recognizing it. But no.
But
I'm recognizing it.
You're
it's
not
just, I'm not
putting yourself in the position.
No, I totally am. But you know what the difference is? I'm not a fucking piece of shit that comes from upstate America that thinks that one group of people in a community should be treated like this. Because they don't go to white communities and do this. That's my problem.
I
would love your argument. But when they address white people, look at that white man who shot Joe McKnight on the fucking street, went home, was arrested 4 days later.
He
was not arrested. He was put into cuffs and detained. That's not an arrest. He was then brought. Because to be arrested, you have to be charged. He was never charged. He was detained. Believe me, I've been in cuffs a couple of times. It's not an arrest. He was put into cuffs.
Being detained.
And, not an arrest.
All it takes to be detained is for the officer to say, "Stand right there."
But that's not an arrest.
Doesn't
Ash.
Include cuffs.
That's not an arrest.
All
no.
it takes.
No.
All it takes for you to be detained. Yes.
No. Believe me.
You're not the only one who's been in cuffs.
Ash.
Dude. All it takes.
Listen to what I'm saying.
All it takes.
You're missing the point.
All it takes.
You see what I'm saying?
All it takes is for an officer
Ash,
to say,
you're
"Stand."
Missing. Scratch.
I'm not. Listen to what I'm saying. All it takes for you to be detained.
But he wasn't arrested. Is what I'm telling you. We're talking about the white guy. Forget you. Forget me. He was not arrested because there was never an arrest
made. Taken.
He was taken.
He
down
was detained.
To the
he was taken down to
and
the
then
precinct,
he left
and
the
they
same
let
night
him go that
with
night
with no charge. So,
exactly.
So all I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
But you said that he was arrested. I'm correcting you.
Fine. He wasn't arrested.
Bet.
He got arrested 4 days later for
four
manslaughter.
Days later. Here's what I'm saying. For manslaughter, after shooting somebody right there on the spot.
No, that was second degree murder. He shot him, he fell,
whatever.
He went, and he finished the job.
Well, you said it wasn't manslaughter. Whatever the case was, the point is, he was not arrested
charged.
He was not arrested and charged until 4 days later. I know this for a fact.
Yeah,
I read the article. Everybody read the article.
He was detained and charged 4 days later.
He was detained.
Because of the social outcry.
Here's
very,
the point that I'm... Exactly. No, you're totally right. Because
that's why they did that.
I know, it's hot in here. Here's the point that I'm making. Is that with officers, though they are trained... And I hear your point, and I get that, because that's a very true point, that they are trained how to fire, where to fire to deter an issue, and how to deal with those situations.
Because there's a certain...
But why is it only black people I keep hearing about them popping?
Well, that's because they're racist motherfuckers.
There we go!
But what, my point, I'm not saying you're not right.
Yeah, I'm not saying...
What
yeah,
my
he
point
totally
is,
agrees with that. He understands
what
that.
What my point
is that police
officers are trained to shoot center mass. Because most gun battles occur within 25 feet. And so that's what they're trained to do.
But this was not a gun battle. You know,
I'm
like
not saying
battle.
It's a gun battle.
I hear you.
I'm saying my man was 18 yards away.
Running.
That was in
away.
The scope of what he was trained to do.
Running. No,
shoot.
Ash.
Ash, in that.
Here's the funny thing is that I read a YouTube video and I watched it and someone was trying to explain this concept to me. The problem is that he was running away without a weapon. It was Slager coming up later, dropping the taser next to him.
I'm not saying
he Slager.
I'm not saying he wasn't fleeing. All I'm saying is what the man was trained to do and how he responded.
Here's the problem though, Ash. The nigga pulled out the gun and waited. He had moments to think. You see the point that I'm making. It's one thing when someone has a gun on you and you're like, and then you respond.
Hold on a second.
You're trying to tell me that cops are trained machines that don't think beyond mind, then I can buy that.
Let me just say this right now. This is the difference between arrest and detention by police.
We know what the arrest
is. I'm just reading
real quick. An officer's brief or cursory holding and questioning.
Right.
Holding and questioning someone is a detention.
Yeah, that's what I said. All it takes to be detained is for them to say stand there.
An arrest, on the other hand, involves the police taking someone into custody through a more significant restraint on movement. That's pretty much it.
Now, cops will often put cuffs on you and not call it
an arrest. No,
they can hold you for 72 hours.
Though, technically, going from what you just read, it is an arrest.
No, because they can hold you.
That is a more significant way of restricting movement.
They can hold you up to 72 days.
Actually makes total sense that cops shouldn't even have to put cuffs on you to detain you. No. It should be more of like, hey, stand here.
No, because that's the reason, because I've been detained many times. And when I've tried to leave, that has been explained to me while they're putting cuffs on. Oh, I told you not to move. You are detained. Mm. As soon as they say, stand right there or don't move, they're restricting your movement. That's detainment. Mm. Anything after that is...
I didn't have that. Like, I had cops put cuffs on me and then tell me, you're not being arrested, you're being detained.
Listen to this. An arrest, on the other hand, it involves the police taking someone into custody.
Mm-hmm.
That's when that's
the key part, though. Taking someone into custody.
Now that's an arrest.
Now, if you're just told to stand over there with the handcuffs on,
you're detained.
That's detained.
No.
See, no, I'm saying because...
I know.
They're not taking you into custody.
But here's what I'm saying. With the white guy, he was detained. That's all I'm talking about. I'm not talking about me. I wasn't under arrest. I knew I wasn't under arrest.
I mean, even in that situation, he wasn't detained or arrested. He was running.
He was detained.
The dude was running.
We're talking about the Joe McKnight issue.
He was detained and taken in for questioning.
Yeah.
It's a totally different thing.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, my point before, which you were saying, oh, unthinking machines. I'm not saying that.
Okay.
I'm saying simply that they're trained to shoot a certain way.
Right.
And he responded the way he was trained.
Why?
Right. Because that's the way he was trained.
No.
I can't put myself in his thing. I cannot say why he stopped and thought about it. Should I shoot him in the head? Okay. Should I shoot him in the legs? Okay. I can't put myself there. I'm simply stating
that his response
was based upon how all police are trained to shoot center mass.
Now, let me say this, though. And let's also, I guess... All right. Granted, we know, and I totally agree with that too. Totally agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But now you gotta understand, I guess a lot of systems and all those things, I think they bet on the fact that it's gonna go with what they train you to be automatic, plus what's already trained in your mind as far as a stereotype, a stigma.
It's always the combination.
You're not gonna question the training.
You're just gonna go with it because you're not gonna question it.
Right.
Because my thing is that though this is a training, the fact that it's constantly happening to one group of people proves that it's not just the training, but it's the mentality.
There was a study done, I gotta find it on Google, and there was a study done that shows that in all shootings that resulted in death of minorities, the majority were blacks and Hispanics. Mm-hmm. I think it was overwhelmingly, like, for Hispanics it was something like 72%, for blacks it was something like 89%, out of all minority shootings. By police. The rest are just like little gang wars in Chinatown or something. Right. But we the ones that die quicker.
Right.
You know? And at some point, that could be misleading because they could just be doing the statistics in urban centers where the population is predominantly poor, black Hispanics, and black people.
But then let's be honest, because when you go outside of your... I have to speak to my own contrary, because I live in a predominantly white neighborhood, and in all honesty, I really don't get that much issues with the police. Now, I don't have that many issues, but then I see white kids and even the Jewish population doing things that... When they see black people doing it, it's considered to be loitering or mischievous.
Or questionable.
Or questionable, right. But in these areas, it's okay. It's acceptable. Don't see the cops badging them. Like I told you, the area of Lakewood, New Jersey is where I started in Jersey. Mm-hmm. And it's the highest Jewish, Hasidic Jewish population in the country. When I get off of work at night and I'm coming through that area like around 12:30, 1 o'clock at night, you'll see numerous Jewish people parked in various empty parking lots, congregated in front of certain establishments, making all types of noise, acting wild and crazy, hollering at girls, doing regular young people stuff, but they don't get harassed.
But, you know, when it comes to the city, they call that hood.
Right, exactly. And I've been in neighborhoods where I am the demographic and still get harassed. Like, yeah. I've been in black neighborhoods and done things in those neighborhoods and get harassed by police.
Like, you ain't from over here, nigga.
Right.
You go back to your own plantation. This ain't your plantation. Take your ass to the other one.
I guess all that's right. The best thing about this type of slavery. We get to run to different plantations.
Yeah, I know. We can spread out.
Right. Freely.
So now, let's give a quick shout out to DAPL, to DPL issue to the South Dakota, I believe, right?
Or is it I
always get it wrong. Is it North Dakota or South
Dakota? North
Dakota. That's why it's N-A. N-A-D-P-L.
North. Yeah.
Oh, it's N-A-D-A-P-L.
Right.
Okay, let me
explain. N-A-D-A-P-L or some shit.
Ah, nice. But okay.
I can't go with you on that.
What's that, Walla?
With the fact that Obama finally ordered the cessation and he had sent in like the National Guard or the Marines to stop them.
Okay.
That's all well and good, and I love that it finally happened, though it should have happened much sooner. The reason why I can't go with it is because as soon as Trump takes office next month,
he's gonna
repeal that.
Okay, but I was getting to that point that first I want to give them a shout out to the protesters, because I think the fact that so many and protesters from all across the country actually came to this, that they went there in cold weather, freezing weather, camped out in tents in teepees, many of them, to fight off this, and I think that was huge.
Oh, that's amazing!
And one of the organizations that I'm a part of actually was a part of that, and I'm very proud to know that we were part of that movement and part of that process. But not so much a part of the movement, really part of the support of that movement, because that was their movement. It wasn't our movement; it was theirs.
Yes.
And I think that's incredible that they were able to make that happen.
When Trump starts to repeal, but will the protests start up again? Will so many people go back?
Many people stayed. Because they knew that this was temporary. Let's not get it twisted. It's not over. I mean, a confident source I've been able to obtain, and maybe other people have access to as well, from within the actual energy transfer company, has made a clear statement that because the debt that this company is in, I mean, they're in debt, and they've sold two Q shares to two particular companies worth $2 billion. That's going to go towards the debt, obviously, that they're in. Part of the stipulations of this agreement happening is this pipeline. So a spokesperson for the energy transfer company has made it very clear that this is happening and without any level of rerouting. So they're not going to be moving the direction of where this pipe is cutting through. And back to your point, Ash, what more can be done? Because you're totally right. When Trump comes because of his business mind, it's going to happen.
The articles that I've read from the left and the right news sites, a couple of them have suggested that people have started leaving. Mm. And so for me, I'm like, okay, they're leaving. Are they going to be allowed to come back?
Oh, once it picks up again.
Yeah, because once the military presence is gone, they're going to bring back their guards.
Of course.
They're going to bring back everything
their
they were
private
doing.
Private security.
Their private security. And before, like towards the end of this, they started not allowing people on, the protesters that were coming to join. So now these people are leaving. Can they get back to help? Or are they just going to be not allowed to be there? So you're going to have protesting from the natives who live there, whose land this is, and then you're going to have everyone else trying to get back in and not allowing. So you're going to have protesting on two fronts while they're digging the pipeline?
Just kind of like...
And they're digging a pipeline in the middle.
Right. It's kind of like puts me in line of, puts me in the thought of...
So that's my thing.
Yeah. It was a minor strike in, I want to say, the late
1800s, right? Okay. This was a Rockefeller situation where the Rockefellers owned the mine. The workers went on strike. And to, we already know what Rockefeller is in this country. Mm. But to stop the strike, they actually employed the United States Guard, the
military,
National Guard. Military, basically, to come and kill those goddamn strikers.
To kill them.
Yeah.
To kill the strikers. Mm-hmm. I've heard of that happening pretty often, actually.
And then this is, honestly, they say in America, this is like the start of what was called public relations, way before Freud or Bernays, his nephew, got involved with it. But they had a whole campaign of reinventing the Rockefeller name after that particular incident. But just, I brought it up just to show that that business will rule. And since we have a businessman as a president that everybody wanted, we're going to see how business rolls.
And this is the same businessman who we're speaking of, which is Trump, who's going to remain the executive producer of his Apprentice show.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yo.
So he's going to be the president.
The same man who's
and
now.
And still the executive producer.
On the low. Goldman Sachs employees.
On the low.
God. He's hired several who've all been worth, who've all raked in.
On the low, I can't knock his hustle. Of millions of dollars. I can't knock his hustle. I can't knock it, yo. It's certain kudos I have to give to him as a man because he's putting his his family on the world.
Let's not even talk about that. Yo, he's got his daughter
all up, dude.
Sitting,
come on, man,
in on fucking
on meetings
between foreign fucking dignitaries. She's not supposed to be there,
and yet he's claiming that they're not going to have any. No. The show, the
word for that is called nepotism. Just
there was a very good article. There was a very good article.
That's what that means.
The other day,
I know what it means.
In the New York Times, it was like a mini profile on Ivanka Trump, and the picture they had of her. She's like the headline was her father's daughter. Now there was a picture of Donald Trump meeting one of the dignitaries. And they did a close up on his shoulder because you can see her right behind him during this meeting.
It's so weird.
And on the low though, isn't she like half Russian, right? She's half Russian or like East European.
Her mother was some kind of model.
But I'm saying like an East European woman, right?
Yeah.
On the low, and this is just my thing. That is like my ideal white woman, like East European, like Ivanka Trump.
So how did we make that segue?
She got bad though. Don't even lie. She's bad. She got bad.
Yo, she's so bad. Her father wants to fuck her.
That's clearly what I'm saying.
He said it all the time.
He said that before.
But
I ain't even gonna lie. Like
very clear.
Nah, Melina, like it's like them eyes. Like her eyes.
Melina's
like
an idiot, though.
It don't matter. She's
whenever
sexy.
You hear, like, whenever I hear her talk, it's like
she's sexy.
Don't talk.
She's sexy.
Just go to your room.
She's sexy.
Don't talk. But this is the kind of president
that she's refusing to live in the White House.
Which is costing the city of New York
dollars.
$35 million roughly a month.
I might not be on this podcast too often. It might have to be like another week
million.
Thing for me because this traffic will be crazy. I'm not driving in New York.
$35 million a month, dude.
Crazy, yo. And where's the Trump Tower at? It's like what area?
And 56 to 57.
Yeah.
It's right by the Apple Store.
Okay.
It's on the east side.
Well, at least it's not, you know.
Yeah, no. Right. It's not as like insane as it could be.
Well, you understand, 57th Street is a major artery.
Yeah, I know.
Right? 65th Street to cross the park, it's a major artery.
Yeah. Oh, so that means when I'm coming from Queens and hit the Queensbird, I might be backed up a little bit.
There you go.
Oh, no.
Not to mention the fact that the deadline for the 2nd Avenue subway is coming up.
Yeah,
they have ramped up construction. So there are, in many spots on 2nd Avenue, it's only one lane, dude.
Yeah,
so that's major. That's been happening for the last week.
So he's doing his stupid ass thing plus that.
And see, that's usually my route. Like, when I come from Queens, I would go 59th Street Bridge because I'm not paying another $16 to go to Outer Bridge.
Mm.
I would come 59th Street Bridge, hit the Lincoln Tunnel, and hit Jersey. 59th Street Bridge is right there by 57th Street, what he's saying. I don't know how close that is, but I hope I'm not driving through that.
Now, continuing on the Trump conversation here.
This dude Trump shut
so, everything down. Yeah, he's messing everything up.
Just
so,
because of him.
So he brings in Michael T. Flynn, who's I believe he's clicking as his Secretary of Defense. Now, Michael T. Flynn was a former military man, Lieutenant General Michael T. Flynn. His son, Michael G. Flynn, has been part of the campaign transitioning, okay? And has been posting lies, basically, all over Twitter, to the point where a man, just maybe about 3 weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, shows up in Washington to Comet Ping Pong, which is a pizzeria out there. He shows up there armed with several weapons, investigating a story that Michael G. Flynn, Michael T. Flynn's son, the Secretary of Defense's son, posted up on Twitter, claiming that the Clintons were using this pizzeria as a front to foster in or bring in or do something with trafficking in children. So he shows up armed to a occupied restaurant. So people are in there with the kids eating pizza. Now, here's what's interesting, right? Trump said this. No, I'm sorry. Mike Pence said this, but I'm assuming we'll say Trump's team said that Michael G. Flynn, again, the son, was never part of the transitioning team, was never part of it, right? Yet, he was fired recently. Him being fired would indicate that he had to be part of the transition team to be fired from it.
Right.
And he had a transition team email.
Right. You don't...
But they have been doing these lies throughout the whole campaign. So my question is, if someone would have been shot, killed during this campaign, when he's posting up all this craziness about this pizzeria, would that have altered the campaign's outcome?
I'm pretty certain of it. If it didn't, that would be some craziness, because how could you have a president whose followers are shooting people, going to places armed just to confront people? You can't.
And this is on a story that hasn't even been validated. And Michael G. Flynn stated Pizzagate, quote unquote, will stay tweeted, will continue to be addressed until it is proven unfounded. Until it is proven to be untrue. So he's going to continue posting these fucking insane tweets of lies until they prove it to be otherwise. Because
truth be told, I'm not going to say that the what he's saying is totally unfounded and crazy, because these people are not right. So don't get it twisted. If you think that these politicians, hold on, wasn't it not Bernie Sanders? It was another Jewish congressman. And I think he worked for, I think he was from New York. I can't remember, but if I'm not mistaken, this dude got caught with a child sex ring while he was in Congress. Yeah. I can't remember. Bernie Frank.
Trump was probably part of that.
Bernie Frank. Yeah. And this dude was a Democrat, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. It's across the aisle. It's bipartisan shit. Yeah. So don't make it twisted. But
I can't see them using a public pizzeria and then without enough truth. You have
and this is what I'm saying, though, because...
What if something would have popped off?
But see, because those may be true allegations and you have situations like this... This is what I'm saying. This is like disinformation. Because you have situations like this, this dude running up there, if something would have popped off, it would have made that situation look null and void. You get what I'm saying? So now that situation might not even be looked at. Because now you got this whole other situation that messes up the credibility.
Who knows if that's even true?
Right. Yeah, right, because you got this crazy person.
Because of a crazy person, by Michael G. Flynn's words, promoting it, goes out there and does this. Now, Ben Carson, $26 million worth, appointed to be the head of housing and urban development.
Wasn't he a doctor?
That's his only experience.
Huh?
That's his only experience.
In the medical field. Yeah. They're going to put him in charge of...
And he's worth $26 million, not from doing his surgeries either.
I'm saying, why would you appoint somebody that's in the medical field in charge of
that doesn't make any sense.
Development?
Why wasn't he put in charge of health?
Right.
Something to do with health. Right. Why would you put him in charge of housing? The dude is a well... a well decorated surgeon.
Right? Didn't he perform like the first like separating of?
But you wanted to be in charge of housing.
Like that. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Maybe he's gonna separate.
Think like, on that, folks. Let that marinate
from the people
in your brain.
I mean, there already is a separation. Have you been to 96th Street on the East Side? It goes from hoity-toity to ghetto quickness.
Yo, this whole country.
There's a clear demarcation of where people's supposed to live.
This whole country is getting gentrified.
Oh yeah, I mean, let's keep it real. Mars is being made into a colony for minorities.
with no oxygen suits.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. They're going to just drop us off. So with that, I tap out. I hope you guys had fun.
You tap out?
Today, listening, because we got food here and it's time to eat.
True. That is the submission move right there.
It's the ultimate move right there. Yeah. Where pizza put your arm. Take a slice!
Put you in a chokehold.
So I hope you guys have a great remainder of your Sunday or of your week, whenever you're listening to this wonderful program. Shoot us an email at theawallradioshow@gmail.com. We'd like to hear more. And shout out to Tiffany, who sent us the very first email. Yes, Tiffany.
Hey, Tiffany.
Just answer your questions quickly. Yes, I think Sean King is doing an amazing thing. I signed up for his boycott. I think many people should. I think it's a beginning of something big. It's a beginning of something that can happen, pushing for people to pull their money out of banks, pushing for people to pull their money out of businesses that do not promote the black objective, which is just basically equality and fairness. I think also looking for black businesses or businesses that do promote that is huge. And I think that's something that we can do. And as artists, me, you, and some of the people sitting around this microphone tonight, we have an obligation, as Nina Simone put, to speak about what's happening in our society currently and to really bring it to the forefront. Nina Simone, God bless her soul, she was one of the biggest people doing this and sacrificed her career at a time that speaking out about black rights, about civil rights, period, was something that would damage your career forever. And she did it adamantly, knowing that it would destroy her. But in the end, she became an ever-living example of what it meant to make sacrifice and be an amazing talent. And I think that that's something that we can all do and contribute in some way, either through writing, through music, through art, through dance. I think where our world is becoming very more apparent of the spiritual aspects that connect us all into the deeper moments and definitions of what makes us who we are as beings. And I think that might have been a very deep answer, but hopefully it was a sufficient one. So
yeah, be careful with the snow that's falling, people. And,
yes.
Have a great night
and enjoy yourselves and eat well.
Good evening. I am the Eggman.